I would like to read two verses of Scripture today to introduce my remarks in these few moments with the book. They're found in the book of Romans. The first is, and I quote, "When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The next one, and I quote, "To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, in these two scriptures I wish to show today, in these few moments with the book, first of all, that every man is without strength, that is, without spiritual strength. He is unable at all to effect a blessing which he needs. Second, I wish to show that Christ Jesus did the work which men could not do. He came into the world and he died for the ungodly. And then thirdly, I'd like to show that faith is the means of procuring justification from sin. And it also puts the ungodly sinner in the state of righteousness before God. This, dear friend, is the gospel message that he sets forth. And to illustrate these vital and precious truths, and trusting the Spirit of God to open eyes and hearts to the Savior, I would ask that you consider with me today an incident in the life of the Lord Jesus. This incident is recorded for us in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2. In the 12 verses, we read this account, the first 12 verses. In the first verse, we notice that it was noised about Capernaum, this is where the incident occurred, that the Lord Jesus was in a house there. It could have been the house of Andrew and Peter. In any case, the house was soon filled to capacity, and, in fact, to overflowing, because the crowd gathered around the door that they weren't able to get into, for everyone desired to hear what this teacher had to say and to see the miracles that this healer would perform. Now, what they heard was what every faithful preacher has ever preached. We read simply of him that, quote, "he preached the word unto them." Now, what is the word? It can only be one thing. It's the word of God. To him, it would be the Old Testament scriptures. That's all that they had in those days. And they would be the scriptures that spoke in prophecy of his coming into the world, the promise of a coming Redeemer, of his ministry, of his death, his resurrection, of his virgin birth, of the shedding of his blood, and that salvation for all men would be by grace through faith in him. And now here he was in their midst, in the house, and oh, would to God that they had really heard his word. Many were there out of curiosity, as we shall notice, but just a remark or two about the word. It's the word, dear friend, which we desire to preach. It's the word which alone can bring blessing to souls. Peter speaks of it as that incorruptible seed by which souls are born again, the word of God. It's the good seed. And when received into the repentant heart, the ungodly sinner is brought to righteousness. In Hebrews 4:12, we read that the word is quick or living. It's not like any other book. These are the very words of God. They are verbally inspired. And also, it is powerful. How the word affects lives. It changes lives. In fact, it brings from the state of spiritual death to life. It converts souls. Those who are living a life of sin are turned around by the power of the word to live a life of righteousness. To young Timothy, Paul exhorts, and I quote, "Preach the word." When we read the book of Acts, we notice how many times it is recorded that when Peter and Paul and Philip preached, they preached the word of God, the words of Scripture. The Bible is just that, dear friend, the word of God from cover to cover. It's infallible. It's inspired by God. So now, here, the preacher of all preachers, the Lord himself, is in a house humbly preaching the word. Dear friend, it is with sincere desire that we would seek to follow his example today The word of man is of no avail, and my opinion is no better than yours. But the word of God is truth, and it is as timely today as it ever was. It is up to date. Don't let men tell you otherwise. It is relevant to the needs of men. It is accurate in its scientific presentation. It is absolute truth. And this revelation of God in the Bible is intended to reach your heart and conscience, dear friend. And when it is received by faith, what will it do? It'll be that seed that brings to you eternal life. And you will then produce fruit for God. But now notice, we see that there is approaching this crowd at house four men bearing a palsied man or a paralytic on a mattress. This man is unable to walk. He's apparently absolutely helpless. And in this, he pictures for us all men as spiritually without strength toward God, unable to do one thing, dear friend, for salvation, not by works of righteousness which we have done, is illustrated here. But he has four friends. How good it is to have friends like these, friends in whom God has also wrought the work of faith, and they bring him to Jesus. Now, there was such a crowd, however, around this house and around the door that they could not get through to him through the door. But they do not turn around and go home. This does not stop them in seeking to bring this man to Jesus. Well, somehow, perhaps by an outside stairway, which I understand was common in those days, they get to the flat top of the roof of the house in which Jesus was preaching, and they do an amazing thing. They remove the roofing or the tiling over the room where Jesus was, and through the opening that they make in the roof, they let the man down by ropes around his mattress, right at the feet of Jesus in the room of the house where Jesus was preaching. Certainly we do see an example of the energy of faith here, but it's faith that has been brought about by a deep sense of need. This man had a need. He had tried, no doubt, everything. His friends did all they could. They did the best that they could do. They brought him to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith. What a grand thing it is to know that Jesus sees the faith of everyone. You know, you can't see my faith except by my works. But Jesus sees the least bit of faith in the heart of men. He saw their faith. And it was undoubtedly the faith of the five of them. That is, the palsied man had faith, unquestionably. And the four men that brought him had faith. Their faith was in Jesus. Faith must have an object. This is the faith that saves. Now, though he was without strength to do anything at all, and such, again I repeat, is the condition of all men without exception, because sin has rendered everyone strengthless. In fact, everyone is dead in sin. Sin has afflicted the whole human race. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet, there's one thing that he could do, and there is one thing that you can do. You say, what is that? He could believe in Jesus. And he did. You can believe in Jesus if you want to. Oh, God grant that you will. Let me ask you, have you put your trust in him? Now, you have heard how he died on the cross, how he was raised from the dead, and how he was here on earth for 40 days, appearing to many by many infallible proofs. He ascended to the glory, and he's there now. He's coming back again. You believe this? Look, he died for the ungodly. That's why he died. He arose for your justification. Now, you're ungodly by nature. So are we all. To be ungodly simply means to be without God. We leave God out of our lives. A man doesn't have to be grossly immoral to be ungodly. Ungodliness does lead, of course, to immorality. It leads to every sin imaginable. But, dear friend, ungodly is what we are by nature. We have no spiritual relationship with God. And this is true of us all. But the ungodly can believe. The ungodly can receive the testimony of the Bible, the word which is preached. And it's our prayer that if you haven't yet believed in him as your personal Savior from sin, that today you might hear and your soul will live. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is why Jesus preached the word. This is why we seek to preach the word. And we trust that the Spirit of God will take it and exercise you. And if you have any sense at all of your need, the Spirit of God has aroused that need. You have any sense at all that this is the truth about Jesus and his work, oh, will you not give ear to what he says? Now, this man had undoubtedly heard about Jesus before, and he accepted that word. And the faith that it inspired brought him to Jesus. Now I want you to notice what Jesus says to him first of all. It's very singular and instructive. He says, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now notice, he puts emphasis on the matter of prime and vital importance. How unlike many today, many are seeking the physical deliverance without the spiritual. Say, let me ask you, are your sins forgiven? Have you ever, from the Word of God, had him speak directly to you when you put your faith in him? You put your faith in him and he said, "Son, thy sins are forgiven you." Now, here is a man that can do no work. He's a picture of the helpless sinner, but he's forgiven. He's forgiven his sins. The root cause of all his trouble, his sins are forgiven. And they're forgiven by the one who has authority to forgive. Now, if he couldn't work, what could he do? And what did he do? Let me refer again to the verse we quoted to begin with in Romans 4 and 5. But to him that worketh not, and this man couldn't work, but believeth on him, and this is what he did, that justifieth the ungodly, and this is what Christ does. He justifies, he cleanses, he forgives. He frees from guilt the ungodly. How? Through the faith of this man. His faith is counted for righteousness. Oh, blessed be God. How wonderful to know that it is by grace we are saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. To the believer, God says, as John writes in his epistle, "I write unto you, children." And this is what you are if you've come to Christ. You become a child of God through faith in him. "I write unto you, children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake." Let me ask again. Can you say, "My sins are forgiven me"? Do you have the forgiveness of your sins? Now, you may believe in the forgiveness of sins as the statement in the Apostle Creed goes. But it's another thing to believe in the forgiveness of your sins, and this is what God wants you to know and to possess. Oh, friend, you may, by trusting Christ, coming to him as an ungodly sinner and accepting him as your Savior, know on the authority of him who cannot lie and who speaks clearly in his word that your sins are forgiven you. Paul writes to the Ephesians, "In whom we have possess redemption, deliverance through his blood." That's the foundation. Even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, friend, I'm happy to say, on the authority of this word, I know I possess the forgiveness of all my sins once for all and forever. Do you? Are you forgiven? Now we find, however, that there are those in the house who hear this word of forgiveness, and they see what is done, but yet they reason in their hearts against this person. And they charge him in their thoughts with blasphemy. They say, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" You know, Satan always has his congregation of unbelievers. But look, Their thoughts do not elude him, that is, the one with whom they have to do. And Jesus can read your thoughts today, right this moment. And he knows every thought you have ever thought and every deed you have ever done, just as he did in this case. We read immediately, he perceived in his spirit what they were thinking about. He knows your thoughts afar off. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And friend, they saw in this Jesus a mere man. And hence, the unbelief in his ability and authority to pronounce forgiveness. They knew that only God could forgive sins, and this is true. But their sin was in not seeing and believing that the man Christ Jesus before them was God himself manifest in flesh. Friend, what are your thoughts about Jesus? Who is he to you? Is he just a great character, a teacher, a healer, an example? Or can you say from your heart, I believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God? For he is. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. He is the eternal Word. He is God over all, blessed forever. And this, dear friend, is the foundation of blessing for all men. Other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said in John 8 to some unbelievers in his day concerning his person, quote, if ye believe not that I am he, that is, Jehovah God, ye shall die in your sins. See how vital it is that you have God's thoughts, the thoughts of his word, as to the person of the Christ. I ask you, will you not face the question, what think ye of Christ? Oh, faith comes to him, and faith exclaims, Lord, I believe. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Savior, my Lord and my God. This is what Thomas owned him to be. It is then, dear friend, that forgiveness will be bestowed. And this is the result of faith in his death and resurrection in him who procured it for you. It is then that you will become justified from all your guilt as an ungodly sinner, and you will be counted righteous before a holy God in Christ, the one who is now risen and glorified. This is what we have pictured for us here. Now the Lord proceeds to heal the man of his physical malady. He says to him, arise, take up thy bed and walk, and this he did. And certainly the joy that this man knew, it was unbounded. And the whole congregation was amazed at the miracle that Jesus did. But Jesus unfolds here the purpose of the miracle. He says, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and walk. Friend, be assured that the Lord Jesus, who has all power to perform miracles as the Son of God, is the one who has power to forgive sins. Now, in this, we see man's prime need met, first of all. His sins are forgiven. And then we see that such a one receives the authority and the ability to walk and to bring glory to the one who forgave him. They all were amazed, and they glorified God. Friend, let me ask you in closing, are you forgiven? Have you ever acknowledged to him that you are without strength, as God says you are? And as being without strength, do you not see yourself? The reason for your strengthlessness is that you are ungodly, you're without God. Will you not then believe that Christ died for you, the ungodly? Well, when you do, your faith in him and in what he did for you on the cross of Calvary will bestow forgiveness to you of all your sins. It'll meet every need. And friend, faith will impart to you eternal life and give you the assurance of a certain prospect of being with Christ the Lord forever in the Father's house. God grant that today you will hear his word and receive the blessing that this man received. Son, thy sins be forgiven thee.